On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Please be seated.
Thank you for being here. Our visitors, we invite you to come back. If you have any questions about what you see and hear, if you have a desire to study the Word of God and to know more about Jesus, I'd be delighted to do that. And you can talk to me or any other leaders in this church, and we can make it happen. I want you to turn with me in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting verse 35. As you can see, some of our members, college kids, they are in retreat, and our children also there in the Florida camp, Bible camp. And so, but I'm glad that I take this opportunity to share with you this message. In Luke 1:35, we read this. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6 months. For nothing is impossible with God." This was the words that the angel Gabriel told Mary about the birth of Jesus. And when we hear that nothing is impossible with God, this is something that had been proved throughout the book of the Bible. One man, ordinary man, trusting and obeying God, can do the impossible things. Today, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. And we're going to be studying there. And when we see something in here that one of the most outstanding miracles in described in the Bible is the Battle of Jericho. Most of the time we read this account, but it goes over our head because we don't put the details in it. The Battle of Jericho. When God promised his people that he's going to give you the promised land, he stood by his people, the Israelites. Oh, I need to turn this. And then when he promised them that he's going to give them the promised land, after the death of Moses, God chose Joshua, the son of Nun. And that time, Joshua was a young person, inexperienced in any aspect of life. And now he's being in charge to be led this people, over two millions of people, a young person, that he's going to lead this people to the promised land. You can imagine then what's going on in the mind of Joshua. A young person, never has seen a battle before. He didn't have any experience in military strategy or anything like that. And he has at least more than 2 million people that they were ready to kill him if things go south. And he is set out to conquer the land. I can tell you this. If I were a Joshua, one of the things that would have in my mind is to be fear. Fear of the unknown. Especially when I go to conquer a land that I'm going to face some people that they are savage people, they are cruel, and I don't have any experience. It would be natural that I would be very terrified. And I don't have a support or somebody that had confidence in me to say, hey, you're going to do great. But here comes the words of God reassuring him of this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, God said to Joshua, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua took that as a face value. As a disciple of Moses, Joshua, he learned firsthand one critical thing. To be obedient to God and to follow those instructions. It doesn't matter how illogical those commands might be. Joshua saw and remembered all the impossible things that God accomplished through Moses. He saw every single plague that was sent to Egyptians. And every single plague it was to erase from the mind of the Israelite the false religion and the false devotions that they had set on the Egyptian gods. To show them that the only God, the only true God, is the God created of the universe and the earth. Jehovah God. And then when they set out, they walk on the desert. And then they saw the Egyptians' army chasing after them. And they panic. They forgot all the miracles that God showed them. And they in a panic. Why? Because we have an Egyptian that they are ready to kill us. And in front of us, we have a sea, a Red Sea. We are doomed. We have no way to go. What a great miracle. Impossible thing to do then and now. And God showed his way. Miraculously, God parted the Red Sea. And the people walked and crossed over in dry land. Impossible. And God is showing to his people, nothing is impossible with God. And he went, when they crossed the other side, they saw an ugly picture. All the Egyptians, soldiers, they died when all those waters came back again. I can imagine everybody, do you see that? Wow! Never we have seen such a thing in the human history. And God is testifying, I am with you. I am going to accomplish what I said I will do. And then Joshua, he saw how God took care of the people. A few days later, after they saw that wow miracle, they start complaining. We're thirsty. Hey, you brought us here in this desert to die? Look at our children. Don't you have any conscience? Look at here. Wow. What happened to the wow miracle? We say, you know, praise be to God. Where's water? There's just sand in here. And this unmerciful sun is just providing heat? And this is your plan? Once again, God showed the impossible. You mean you're going to give us water from that rock? And that's what happened. Joshua saw that water coming out of a rock. And people were in amazement. Later on, they say, "We're hungry. We need food. Look at our children. They're crying." Once again, God, he said, "I will sustain you." Can you believe that food came down from heaven? Who heard such a thing? And they ate. They were satisfied. God taking care of his people. But Joshua, his faith was resided in his personal relationship with God. Although he felt unqualified for the monumental task, taking over Moses, the servant of God, filling those shoes. And God reassured Joshua, "I'm going to be with you every step of the way." And Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Listen, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to the inheritance, the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them." And Joshua understood one thing. That is a challenge for all of us. That the key of success in life is to be obedient to God. And God reminded him in verse 8. "Keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." That is the key to Joshua, and that's the key for us too. Another great characteristic of Joshua is that he was a leader, that he led by example. Joshua never imposed on the people to do something that he himself would not do. What a great example for our politicians. That they promise and promise just to get elected. But they don't show with their actions. Especially when it's the best interest of the people doing the right thing. Once again, Joshua renewed the faith of the people. When we read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, this is what the people in Jericho says through the mouth of Rahab. And this is what she said. 2:8, Joshua. "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went," Rahab, "went up to the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that is a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melted in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage fails because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above, on the earth below. And then in chapter 4, verse 14, this is what the Bible says. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they stood in awe with Moses. What a leader, right? Inspired confidence, inspired security, because he was following God's instructions. Well, Joshua, on his way to Jericho, he had a surprise visit. A commander of the army of the Lord showed up, and they have a conversation. Listen to what he says in Joshua 5, 13 to 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "But as a commander of the army of the Lord, I now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are, you're standing, is holy." And Joshua did so. This was the burning bush, if you will, for Joshua. Something that God has shown to Moses before. And so the commander of the Lord has this discussion how to win the battle of Jericho with Joshua. Okay? This is the strategy. He said, "Have all the soldiers to walk around the city, to march around the city one time a day, where the priest will be blowing the trumpet, seven trumpets. But all the soldiers would be keep silent. But on the seventh day, the whole assembly would be marching around seven times, and then the priest will do a loud blast with a trumpet, and all the people are going to shout." That's it? Is that the strategy? If I were Joshua, I would start saying, that's it? I mean, what else? Are you going to send Michael, perhaps, to help us? Do we have any allied in here? You know, while we entertain them, is this an ambush? You have another army? I can imagine Joshua explained that to his soldiers. Say, what? We're just going to walk around? Joshua, have you seen that wall that at least is 28 height and 6 feet wide? And you think that, what is this? What a great attitude that put myself ashamed sometimes. Joshua never questioned God. He took that message as a face value. What a lesson even for us. We have the whole counsel of God. And most of the time when we go in through our battles and the hardship, what will we say to God? Why me, God? Why did this happen to me? When are you going to respond? What is it that you want from me? What a great attitude that we need to develop and to practice. You know, God has a plan for you. I don't know what is the thing that you're going through, but you have to trust that God knows best and he wants the best for you. And he will make things happen. You will get through to this. Just hang on to God. Some lessons that we can learn in addition to the one I just said. Of course, Joshua, he felt unqualified for the task that he has at hand. But remember, God promised him that he's going to be with him. Today, we have that same promise. Jesus has said to us that he's going to protect us and he's going to take care of us. And you know what we have done? We have built walls. We have built walls of being comfortable. We feel secure. We have built walls of entertainment. Everything that we need to make us happy is at home. We don't have to leave home. We have built a wall of complacency. We don't think that the gospel is an urgent matter. Everything is happy. Everybody is doing fine. Everybody is smiling. The country is doing fine. Therefore, you know, whenever we have to invite somebody, it's okay. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is an urgent matter. We are responsible to take the gospel to everybody. We don't get to say whenever I have time. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples." When Jesus says, "You go and make disciples," this is not a request. It's not an invitation. We have to do this. The gospel is an urgent matter. We need to destroy those walls that Satan is helping us to erect. Rahab, the prostitute, made the right choice. She went and allied with God's people instead staying and being confident. Oh, who is going to destroy us? We have a gray wall. We protect us. She went with God. She changed her life. One of the proof of that is that we learn in the New Testament that God favored that choice because she is the ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. She became a godly woman. We need to reach out to everybody with the gospel. We don't get to say, I don't think I'm going to invite this person to church. I don't think that he's going to respond well. Oh, this one is look nice. I can invite the church. He is a good person. No. The gospel is for everyone. A living testimony. I was going in the wrong directions in my teenage years. That might be 45 years ago. I was hooked up with the wrong crowd, fighting a worldly cause that risked my life. If it wasn't for somebody that brought me the gospel and talked to me about Jesus, I would have been dead. That person didn't care if I was tough enough or I was intimidated. That person talked to me about Jesus, and here I am. The gospel is for everyone. All that we have to do is to plant the seed. It's God who does the growth. The other thing is that we're here to please God. not the world. The people, the Israelites, they were to go around the city one time for 6 days, and then march seven times in the last day, the seventh day. You can imagine the people, the Israelites, some of them say, oh, how embarrassing is this? Yeah, this is a military strategy. Who taught this man? I think that he's delirious. Never in the story, in the history of the world to win a battle like this. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know these people. And what about the people that were watching on the tower? You know, look at those silly Israelites. Look at them. You know, hey, march a little harder. But how they were taunting them. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Human methods never can win battles for God. We, Christians, we need to be and mark a clear distinction between the world and us. Has to be. Otherwise, there's no difference. And I know that we're being bombarded by the world, say you need to have this to be cool. You have to wear this to be cool. As a parent, I know how hard it is. I tell my children, you don't have to have this thing. You don't have to compete with the world. You don't have to wear all these things to enhance the beauty. If your friend's going to accept you, just be yourself. Testify who is your king. Testify who is your Lord. If the person, your friend, will not accept you because you are a follower of Jesus, you don't need that person. But we don't have to compete with the world. We are here to please God. The reason is this world and all his pleasure will pass away. And the only thing that we have is Jesus. That made it clear, God to Joshua. He said, destroy everything in that city of Jericho. Men, women, all men and children, even animals. Because God demands righteous. Now, Joshua, he led the people. It's a 7 days job. The victory for God must be won in 7 days. In other words, this is an everyday deal. We're not going to win the battle against Satan by going to church on Sundays. We open our Bibles on Sundays. We need to open our Bibles every day. We pray a lot on Sundays. We need to pray some every day. We talk about Jesus on Sundays. We know we need to talk about Jesus every day. We have fellowship on Sundays. We need to have fellowship every day. We worship and we are devoted to God on Sunday. We need to be devoted and consecrated every day. Every day, we treat every day like a miniature Sunday. What a victory that we're going to have in Jesus. We are not going to be victorious with one day, one blast. Our battle is being won day by day. Not with a sporadic big push. In chapter 7 of Joshua, this is a sad story. Disobedience always brings catastrophic failures. The battle of Ai. Very small scale compared to Jericho. But they lost the battle. And you know why? Because one man sinned. This is a tragic story of Achan, that he stole the riches of Canaan from the Lord. And because his sin, many people died. Not just that, but he also lost his inheritance in the promised land. Brothers and sisters, this congregation would not be victorious in any endeavor or any goal that we set up. If sin is in the camp, we're not going to be victorious. God, it would not move, because this is a church, it's a team effort. Just because one person sin can destroy the whole thing. You know what? If you said, okay, then I'm going to do a favor to the church, I'm going to leave. Don't give up. God hasn't given up on you. We need you. You know what you need to do? The wonderful avenue of God's grace. You need to repent. You need to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been fighting this battle alone. I've been fighting this battle for too long. I need your help. Escaping from your problems and your struggles is not a good strategy. Stick with God. And God is inviting you to repent. And guess what? If everybody here repent and we dedicate our life to God, He will be victorious. Here it is. We're being called to be different, to be obedient no matter what, and to please God. So this is a great message that was implemented in the Old Testament through Joshua. Today is the same thing. We need to be obedient to God to enjoy those victories. I really don't know what is going through, you are going through. But one thing I know, there's nothing is impossible with God. If you need help, come. Ask for God for help. And He will provide the help. If you're ready to be in the God's army, I invite you to come as we stand and sing.